You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And one more time, if you would. And Brother Leland, it's always dangerous when you let a pastor lead praise and worship, put a microphone in his hand. It gets dangerous. But I wanted to share a praise report. I've been picking y'all up and taking y'all home for several years now. And there's kind of a funny behind that, but I'll wait and tell that another time. Well, I'll just tell it real quick. Leland asked me if I could help out a little bit till he found somebody, and that's about 5 years ago. And I ask him every now and then, "Are you still looking? Are you still looking for somebody?" But no, I consider it a joy. But tonight, to the best of my knowledge, we picked up more from Jackson Street than we've ever picked up on any given Thursday night. We had 32, 33. So that's a praise report. We had them jammed in there like sardines. They was wondering if we're going to tip over when we go around the corner. I said, well, we'll go real slow. Okay. We're going to do one more song here. This world is not my home. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. And I won't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetness, praise, drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home. One more time. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. They don't write them like that anymore, Leland. You may be seated.
Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if you will. If you don't have a Bible, that's going to be kind of tricky. So if you'd like to have one, if you'll lift your hand, we'll get you one. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. I mentioned that little pamphlet, What Have I Done? What Do I Do Now? Part of the problem that we face in the rec room is that because many of you are from other towns, you're here for 90 days, you're here for 30 days, and we don't get to know you very well until you're going back to home, wherever that might be. And we don't get that opportunity to follow up. Like if you live in Odessa, then we can invite you to the church we attend. We can get to see you. We can go have a cup of coffee. We can visit a little bit. We can follow up in your progress as a Christian. So we don't have that here in the rec room. And so that's why we put the little booklet together. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, that therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to talk about the difference tonight, and there are a lot of differences. I'm just going to hit on two or three of them. But there's a lot of differences between a Christian and a non-Christian, between a saved person and an unsaved person. Notice I didn't say church member. There may not be a bit of difference there. A saved person and lost people have different births. Bible said you must be born again. It was pretty popular to want to say, what sign were you born under? Well, I'm a Gemini. I'm a Libra. Well, then it dawned on me that I was born in October, but I got born again in April. And the guy asked me, he said, what's your sign? I said, which one? And that kind of rattled him. Because, see, I was born again. So, saved people and unsaved people have different births. They have different wars and weapons. With the Christian, this is called his sword. And by the way, a sword is used for battle. It's not used to shave with. It's not used to trim the hedge with. It's not used to fix things around the house with. A sword used for battle. This is called the sword of the Spirit. We have a different weapon. And we're in a different warfare. And by the way, we're in warfare. That's one of the things that we point out. And what do I do now? You're in warfare, baby. If you thought becoming a Christian is sissified, you just join up, baby. And you'll find out. And there also, we got different authorities. We've got the Word of God versus just the world, what people think. We operate pretty much today, what do people think? What is the opinion, the public opinion? What would they think about that? We have different leaders. We have God or we have Satan. But things that I want, that I think that are more pertinent or probably mean a little bit more to me is one, when a person gets saved, they have a different attitude. I can tell you that. I did the night I got saved. The people that I've seen saved since then, their attitude changed. It changed toward God. It changed towards other people. It changes toward themselves. All of a sudden, they're putting God first. He's right. The first commandment, Jesus said, was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Then he said the second, number two, was likened to it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You get along better with people as a Christian. Now, you will make enemies as a Christian. I didn't say you wouldn't make any enemies. You just handle it a little bit better, and you handle it certainly different. And then toward yourself. We live in an age of I'm number one and looking out for number one. Somebody said this, and I think this is so true. They said, joy, broken down, is this. J is Jesus first, O is others second, and Y is yourself last. And if you want to have some happiness, that's the way you do it. And it's what's amazing, we keep seeking happiness right the opposite of the way it comes, because we seek it as putting ourselves first. What are you going to do for me? See, many of you, when you've got married, or you're thinking about marriage, you want to know what your new spouse can do for you. How you going to make me happy? And I'm going to tell you this, they ain't. Right. But let me tell you something. Nobody can make you happy or unhappy if you walk in the Lord. See, that's not going to take place, because we can still look at Him. I'm started reading again in the book of Job. I'm fascinated every time I read that book. But here, a man, when he's losing everything he's got, can say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Man alive. just a different attitude. The Bible said, let each other's esteem, said, esteem others better than yourself. We keep talking about self-esteem. That's probably most of our problem. If we start esteeming others like the Bible said, we'd have less of a problem. But we have a different attitude. Another thing that we do, we got a different set of goals in life. In the world, we're pretty much tied up with sex and me first, and if it feels good, do it. Just self-preservation, self-propagation, self-gratification. Just self, self, self. What can I do? Where can I go? What can I do to make me happy? We work and work and work so we can take a vacation and go someplace and make ourselves happy. We take drugs. Think about this for a minute. We drink our drug because we're unhappy. That's why they call them mind-altering drugs. If you were happy, and if I'd have been happy, I wouldn't have been taking drugs. I wouldn't have been taking booze. But you know what? I drink that scotch to get that euphoric feeling that I'm not so bad after all. Because sober, I knew this. I was a loser as a daddy. I was a loser as an employer. I was a loser as an employee. I was a loser as a husband. I was a loser as a child, a son. I was a loser. And I didn't like that. I didn't want to face that. And so I did everything that I could try to get my mind off of that. Let's go to bright lights. I thought for a few years there that neons had a healing power in them. Because I'd get up of a morning and I felt awful, and then the neons would come on. And I was healed. Then I learned that in some places they come on at 11 a.m. That's when they open the bar. And you always notice it's always dark in a bar. Well, if you've ever been in one when they got the lights on, you'll know why they turned them on. Yeah. But those neons came on during the day. Man, to finally get that feel, I want to feel good about myself. I want to get that high. I want to be smooth, man. I found out this. When a person gets saved, the first thing he wants to do is get somebody else saved. There's somebody he's concerned about. I've never seen this fail. When a person trusts Christ, that they've got a wife or a husband or a son or a daughter or a daddy or a parent or a friend, and they want to see somebody else get saved. They want to help somebody else get to heaven. They're not interested in making the world a better place to live. That's what the unsaved's trying to do. See, because we're not going to stay. This world's not my home. We're going to heaven. When you get saved, you get a guaranteed trip to heaven. You're going to get to go. And so, and the saved person wants to have fellowship with God, wants to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Do you know the only time a lost person wants to talk to God? Wants any help from God? The only time they want help from God is when there's a crisis. Look around. Look at the times that you as a lost person called on God. And you didn't do it when things were going great. He's there in a drunk tank. Booking. Emergency room. Those type of things. We call on God. Oh God. I told him I would ask God to take me. To take crack away from him, and he didn't. Well, it's pretty hard for him doing it when you're chasing it down everywhere. Hey, man alive. Third thing is that saved people got a different destination. But see, we're going to heaven. If you look at this world, it's not a very pretty place. And most of us, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know which is bad or good. I really don't. I think sometimes I look back at my life that I regret, and at the same time, I think it taught me some things that helps me now. I I think God used them. Not that He wanted them. I'd have been much better off if I'd never had a drink. I'd have been much better off if I'd not done many things that I'd done. But just because God will take those things in your life. Some of the greatest preachers I've ever heard have been some of the sorriest people when they were kids and young people. Some have been ex-inmates. Some of the people today that live such a great life for the Lord, and they don't put on any airs about it. They're just friends with Jesus Christ, and you can tell it. And they've come from the pit. Man alive. But maybe it's because that's why they're the way. They've been to the pit. They've seen the pit. They've wallowed in that stuff. The prodigal son got in that hog pen and was sure glad to be home. And he didn't need to have another hog pen experience. He wasn't interested in it. He never said, "Boy, I'd like to experience that again. You know, man, you just hit me again. That kind of felt good." Yeah. Now, we're on our way to heaven. And the lost man is on his way to hell. Now, folks don't like to talk about that anymore. You don't hear that preached anymore. And I don't care. And I know both Billy Graham and the Pope said that hell is separation from God. Let me tell you something. The lost people are separated from God now. You don't have to go to hell to be separated from God. Hell is hell. Hell is a place. Hell is a place. The Bible said that the rich man lifted up his eyes and he said, "I'm tormented in this flame." Physical. He said, "Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water. He's thirsty. He's hurting. He's tormented." It is a place. Just as heaven is a place, hell is a place. And we're living, going head first there because nobody wants to talk about it. Let me say this. Just because you don't talk about it doesn't mean it's not there. You know, all of us got somebody in the family that had something that we didn't talk about. Yeah, most of us don't discuss a relative with AIDS, do we? Don't mean he don't have it. Doesn't mean it's not there. Just because we're not going to talk about it. Every now and then somebody says, "Well, Leland, you're being negative." Do you realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ is 75% negative? Turn with me in your Bible there for a moment to the book of Romans. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. Back to 1 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Notice the gospel that Paul preached. Starting with verse 1, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Now, listen to this. "For I delivered unto you first of all, which I received, how that Christ died." That's negative. It's not positive. Christ died. Then he said, "Christ died for our sins." That's negative. Not positive. Our sins are not positive. They're negative. They draw us down. "According to the Scriptures, and that he was buried." That's negative. Because in this life, when we bury somebody, that's it in this life. They don't return. They don't come back. And said, "And he arose again the third day according to Scriptures." That's positive. 75% of that gospel is negative. Hey, that's why he talked about, except a man repent, can't enter into the kingdom of God. We have to deal with our sins and turn them over to Christ. But before anybody ever gets saved, they realize they're a sinner. In fact, before anybody gets saved, they realize they're really a rotten sinner. Here's just some absolute truth. Psalms 39:5 says, "Man at his best is vanity." That means empty, worthless. That's man at his best. Take your best stroke, man. And it's nothing. Ecclesiastes 7:20 said there's not a just man on earth. Not one. Isaiah 64:6 says all of our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags. He didn't say they're a little soiled. All of us are great at saying, well, I know I'm not perfect. Well, I didn't know that. What we don't want to admit is that we're our righteousness, all of the righteousness that we've got, plural, all of it, is as filthy rags. Romans said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody. That's the truth. That's absolute truth. I mean, see, absolute truth has no maybes. Austin is the capital of Texas. It's not maybe the capital of Texas. It's not Bryan or College Station, which is not far off capital of Texas. Or it's not Houston, which is the largest city in Texas. Or Dallas, which is bigger than Austin. It's Austin. Austin is capital of Texas. That's absolute truth. 5 and 5 is 10. That's absolute truth. It's not 9 and a half. It's not 12. It's absolute truth. Truth. That's exactly the way it is. Red is red. It's not green. It's not blue. It's not purple. It is red. We have in this life absolute truth, and God gave us a whole book of it. Absolute truth. And He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I'm still fascinated at how that happens. I walked in a little church one night, lost, and walked out on the way to heaven. Many of you can recall the day, you can recall the place, you can recall the incident in which you started out on the way to hell and left on the way to heaven. In this rec room, we've seen people that walk down that aisle on the way to hell, walk back up it on the way to heaven. Because the Bible says that if you just believe in thine heart that God, that Christ died for our sins and that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He does the saving. We don't. But when we submit to Him, He does it. I think of all the things this year, which is nearly over, next year, the one to come, my heart's desire, my goal, is to see people saved. I don't want you to pass through the rec room and not leave saved. I really don't. I don't have a church to try to get you in. I don't have any outward reason, because most of you don't have a penny. If you did, you wouldn't give it to me anyway. Not trying to build anything. I'm an old man. My days are over with except for that one thing. I tell you how to get to heaven. Man alive, how to get to heaven. That is the greatest thing I know. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. And while your head's bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around, please. You say, Leland, I'm not saved. You may be a church member. You might have been baptized. You might have taken communion over and over. But if you died tonight, you know in your heart of hearts, you would not go to heaven, you would go to hell. If the Bible's true, would you just lift up your hand and I could pray for you? I see you. God bless you. Yours and yours, yes. And yours, yes. Anyone else, real quickly. You can slip them back down after I recognize you. Anyone else? So would you pray for me? Yes, I see yours, sir. Anyone else? Real quick. We're going to pray. Are you being honest with God? Anyone? Right quick. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up real quick. Yes, sir. I see yours. You slip it back down. Yours, right? Yeah. If you put it up and I've recognized you, don't do it again. Okay. Now here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And here's what I want you to do. I want you in your heart as best you know how. If you're serious about this, if you mean business about this, if God is real to you and you want to be real with Him, I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins and rose again for my salvation. I trust you as my Savior. That's the prayer I want you to pray. If you mean it. Don't say a word if you don't. But if you do, while I'm praying, that's the prayer I want you to pray. Lord, I'm lost. I want to be saved. I trust Jesus to save me. Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to call on Him for salvation. Stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed. We're getting ready to pray. You know what I want you to pray. Our Heavenly Father, this is the most important time that we're going to have tonight. This is more important than the refreshments. This is more important than the music. This is more important than the message. This is when some people are going to meet you. This is when some people are going to walk down that aisle lost and are going to walk back up it tonight saved and on the way to heaven. Father, I pray that you'd help each one that needs to do that to have the guts, to have the courage, the honesty to step out. We're not asking them to become Baptist, Methodist, join them. We're asking them just to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help them to do that this very night. In Christ's name I pray. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Lord, I'm coming home, Brother Doug.
I've wandered far.
Come on, right now. I'm coming to trust Christ. Come on, you lifted your hand. Take the next step. Come on, come on.
I'm coming home.
Yes, sir. Come right on.
The paths of sin.
There's others
too
need to come. Come
long
on.
I've tried.
Did you mean business when you lifted your hand? Come on.
Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home.
Come on.
Coming home.
Father, you saw the hands, you know the hearts, and for some reason, you know that too. Some have not come that need to come. For some reason, they're digging their heels in the dirt. I don't know what the reason is. Maybe they feel like they're not worthy, and they certainly aren't. None of us are. If we'd been worthy, we wouldn't need to be saved. Maybe they feel like it's too complicated. We try to make it as simple as we possibly can. Maybe they felt like it's too easy. And yet, Jesus Christ had to die on the cross and shed His blood for us. Nothing easy about it for Him. He made it easy for us, but it wasn't for Him. Father, we're going to sing one other verse. I was going to quit, but we're going to sing one other verse. And maybe somebody that should will right now step out and come and trust Christ as their Savior. As we sing his second verse.
I've wasted many precious years.
Would you come right now?
Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home.
Right now, coming home.
Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for those who are here tonight. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you that they cared enough to come. And Father, I pray that others that should have, that didn't, that before they leave here tonight, they're Christian men and women here, that they could just walk up to and say, hey, could you help me with this? Maybe they've got a question. I'll be here. Rick will be here. Jeanette will be here. Just, there are those, Brother Doug's here. There are people that they can come and talk to about their salvation. Father, help them to do that. We just hate to see anybody leave that hadn't settled that issue. Thank you again for being with us. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Bless your people now in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.